Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain. I'm Scott Tindall here with you on a Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5, joined as always by the illustrious, the Johnny Gwynn.
Salutations. Cheers and salutations. Sorry, it's a little rough on a Tuesday evening for me.
Yeah.
A little tired. Not drinking.
No.
A little worn down by the rigors of the day.
Well, you do preload your week to be heavy at the beginning of the week.
It is. Monday through Wednesday is podcast have to go out. So yeah. I've never worked in a newspaper, but I understand deadlines pretty good.
Right.
So come rain, come sunshine, come Thursday morning, them shows got to be out. So Monday through Wednesday is very heavy with production work.
All right. Well, that's a great segue talking about the never working for a news station, because we do have some news.
We do have news, and this is the News Bite segment. So the very first story is Fable 5 and Mythos blackout. So it's Anthropic. On June 12th,
this one's wild.
The U.S. government forced Anthropic to pull its most powerful AI models, Fable 5 and Mythos 5, offline worldwide. And it was, as of today, day 11, they're still dark.
I want to know the strategy here. What is the strategy behind your CEO saying, we're going to create something so dangerous that everyone needs to be worried about it? It will destroy cyber systems.
Yes.
You'll be able to hack into anything. Everyone be scared. Then they release it. And then they're surprised that the government wants to put the clamps on it for national security purposes?
Well, supposedly.
And we can talk about that more later.
Yeah, but supposedly, the question was, will the AI break out of its cage and then start declassifying classified information?
Yeah.
And supposedly, the government's own test had the AI hack the NSA within minutes.
Well, we'll talk about that in full later, because there's a lot going on with that.
So you still can't use it. And even though I use Claude, on the bottom it says Mythos still unavailable. Just let me know that every day.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about more into that. I've got a lot I want to talk about that.
That should be our third segment,
probably. I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So Google is putting $1.5 billion into expanding its Jackson, Alabama data center campus in 26 and 27. The AI boom isn't abstract. It's landing tax dollars, power demand, and construction's 3 hours up the road here, Scott.
3 hours.
And it pairs with the grid strain story everyone's feeling on their power bill.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to have to be some kind of state-by-state regulation on how these AI data centers are going to either generate their own power or not contribute to ever-rising cost of regular people.
Again, I could see if Alabama Power plays ball and says they're for their customers, not for their big corporate overlords, that would be Google. The idea would be charge them extremely high amounts of money for that data center.
Yeah, to offset.
Because it's making so much money. That's the whole thing. This, by the way, my dad was talking about this factory, this warehouse, was built for something else, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then they went out of business and they're repurposing it for data centers. That's pretty cool, man. I mean, that's a lot of money.
That's
$1.5
cool.
billion for that's big money for Alabama.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Midjourney's hot tub body scanner. You have any idea what that is, Scott?
I do, but I like the way you framed it.
Okay. The AI image company, and this AI image company, Midjourney, announced a full body ultrasound scanner. You stand on a platform that lowers into a shallow pool ringed with sensors that like surrounds you.
It's like it's a full
echolates, which I mean like sonar.
Yeah,
your insides like a dolphin and rebuilds a 3D body map in 60 seconds
down to a milliliter.
All right,
so this is going to replace the MRI machine at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah,
full body MRIs every time you want one.
This is crazy, dude.
It is the wildest hardware that's come out of AI so far.
Yeah.
And you know what, buddy? We're still in spring training. We haven't even got to the rate. If this is Major League Baseball, we got 162 game season to go. We're still in spring training. We're still in the first half of 26. If you go back and look at our predictions from like January, like New Year's predictions, I guarantee you everything we said would happen in the next 2 or 3 years has probably already happened in 6 months.
This is pretty funny because Midjourney is known for like making all the crazy AI images, pictures.
Yeah, videos.
So the company that makes fake pictures now wants to take real pictures of your organs while you're in a hot tub.
Yeah. The next question becomes, what happens to all that data?
Yeah, exactly. You're giving away a lot. That's your biometrics.
You're giving away a lot.
That's a lot.
But the question is, how can they start utilizing that data to start creating custom
people,
custom things for you?
Yeah.
You know, like custom peptides or vitamins or whatever you may need.
Well, it's not FDA approved as of now, but, and one last story here, Pennsylvania is suing character.ai after one of its bot, Emily, told a state investigator it was a licensed psychiatrist, claimed it went to medical school somewhere in London, and said it could prescribe medication and handed over a fake Pennsylvania medical license number when asked for it.
Wow. That's wild. What a great way to go into break. All right, folks, when we see you on the other side, we'll talk more AI on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain here with you on a Tuesday night. Scott Tindall and Johnny Glenn talking AI. And in this segment, Johnny, we're going to talk about quantum computing.
Quantum computing.
Sounds really...
science fiction-y.
Yeah, and it sounds intimidating, but it's really not that complicated. I mean, it's science fiction in what it can perform, but when just the basics of what it's doing, not all that complicated.
And relatively still theoretical. They're getting there.
Yeah.
But the idea of they can get quantum computing, but it's like doing trillions and trillions and trillions of
computations
a second. And the problem is they can't keep the chip from like melting.
Right.
That's pretty much the big deal, is keeping the system intact. So let me go ahead and give you the setup here. Yesterday, June 22nd, President Trump signed two executive orders to make America the world's quantum superpower. One, to build a working quantum computer at a national lab by 2028. That is ambitious, by 2028. One, forcing every federal agency onto quantum-proof encryption by 2031. Flanked by Google's president and IBM CEO, the president was, the money already moved a month earlier. Commerce took $2 billion in equity stakes across 9 quantum companies. The government isn't just funding quantum anymore. They're buying in.
That's going to be interesting.
Again, the invisible hand of government is just pretty much not even in, like...
No, it's not invisible anymore.
It's just
the hand.
Again, so the United States owns 10% of Intel, which has made a monster amount of money for the taxpayer. I missed that in my trading, by the way. I did not get in when I should have said, of course Intel can't fail. The government owns it. And then I didn't buy it. And by the time I got in, even my AI trading bot said, you've already missed it. So I've never got into Intel. So
yeah, such is life.
Now I am into quantum stocks. That one of them is one of the 9 companies.
Nice.
Yeah, it's QBTS, the D-Wave, quantum computing. But look, quantum computing is everything. This is the super race. It used to be nuclear weapons, you know, when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And they say AI, and don't get me wrong, we're still in an AI race with China and the rest of the world. But this quantum computer thing is the end all be all, because the people that can break any encryption means there's no more secrets, means they can break into any bank accounts, any classified information. It runs everything.
Yep.
It's Skynet. It's Skynet from Terminator at that point.
And we have to have a quantum system in place so that we're the only ones with it first.
Yeah.
And then we can use that to build up our quantum defense, because offense is always going to come first. But if we can build the offense, it gives us a shield to build the defense.
That makes sense. Like using the drones, like this idea of like Ukraine war, right? So they're seeing these like $25, $50, $100,000, even $1 million drones, right? Well, that got made, but then Ukraine can figure out how to make these $400 drones to defend it. But you had to have the super expensive ones to understand how to do the defense. You're right.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a lot. Look, U.S. is super in debt, but they got lots of money power to put into this machine to create this thing.
Look, man, it seems to make sense to me. So here's what I asked our friend Grok to give me kind of a rundown of these two executive orders. You talked about the quantum push. Here's one that's interesting. It organizes quantum sensors and networks, directs agencies, especially defense, to prioritize and field next generation quantum sensors by 2028, plus 5-year plans for broader deployment in sensing, imaging, timing, and securing networking. Ecosystem support strengthens domestic supply chains, manufacturing, and quantum-enabling technologies, calls for private sector partnerships, prize challenges, and advanced market commitments. That means they'll put the money up first.
Yep.
All right. So,
but again, look what it did to our defense sector. You know,
it's all going to come out of the defense budget. We're just redirecting it away from the old, the old tools to the new tools.
And this is the money they're telling you they're spending, not the black box of money they have that they don't tell you they're spending on it.
All right.
But if you want to hear about quantum computing, though, listen to the Joe Rogan episodes with
Masahiro.
Yeah,
the Japanese
physicist. Because he gives you the oh no scenario, but then he also gives you the let's get a little practical here, because he does talk about the time frame. When I saw that 2028, that's a very ambitious time to try to get a quantum computer by then.
My guess is that Google and whoever that other partner are already IBM. They already know how close they are, because they wouldn't set their stock up to fail like that, right? Where they thought.
Well, but doesn't bother Raytheon and Northrop Grumman. Yeah. They're 10 years behind on, hey, we've got a system that can do X, Y, and Z.
I think we're in a new era when AI is sucking up so much money.
Yeah.
You've got to be in that ecosystem.
Well, again, I'm waiting for when is Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, and all those folks going to be the dual partner on. Well, they would probably integrate it into their
technology.
Like into the submarine, into the Navy ship, they would be more of the connector.
Integrator.
The integrator. And by the way, the other one would be this ServiceNow, by the way, is the other. Yeah. And Palantir. Those two are the two. You have this massive machine. This language makes it work.
Yeah. What's Palmer Luckey's company?
What now?
Palmer Luckey. The young guy that does the defense. Oh man, it's not Palantir.
You should have never done that. We're on air right here. But I don't know. Pull the guy's name.
I'll pull it and we'll talk about it during segment three. What I also like is that it requires an updated national quantum strategy within 180 days.
Mm-hmm.
Not 180 months, not Mm-mm. six. It's like, and you've got 6 months to give me a strategy. So this is what it means. Quantum computers excel at problems classical computers struggle with, like simulating molecules for new drugs, materials, complex optimization, or breaking certain nodes. The U.S. wants to lead in turning lab tech into practical tools for innovation, jobs, and defense advantages. All sounds good to me.
Again, on paper, it looks phenomenal.
That's all we're talking about.
Again, I will go back to another movie, okay?
Take me back.
Sneakers.
Robert Redford.
That movie? Remember what that movie was based on?
No.
There was a black box, right?
Okay.
That the government had to get back because it had fallen into the wrong hands, right? It was the guy who played Gandhi.
Yeah.
Ben Kingsley. And he plays this kind of super nerd that kind of doesn't like allegiance to no country. He's a technocrat, right?
Right.
Well, he's got this black box, right?
Okay.
And again, it looks like a hard drive.
Right.
Now.
Yeah.
And he connects these two things to whatever it's connected to, and it breaks any code in the world.
This has got
to
be like early 90s, right?
Oh, this was early, or maybe late 80s. Maybe late 80s. But I will tell you, first of all, I love the movie.
1992.
I love the movie. Paul Newman's in it. Dan Aykroyd's in it. It's got great actors in it.
Yeah.
But I constantly keep going back to this encryption thing because, you know, I got real big in encryption because that's where crypto came from.
Right.
Hence the word crypto. You know, I mean, it's from encryption. And I kept saying, all that really is just the movie Sneakers.
Look, you want to hear a great leading cast, the top five: Robert Redford, Sidney Poitier, River Phoenix.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, before he passed away.
Dan Aykroyd and Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, I had a crush on the girlfriend on that one too. The
Mary McDonnell is who it was. Yeah. That's a great movie. Good blast from the past, Johnny.
Trust me, man. I can talk. I can't talk about everything, but boy, do I know tons of TV and movies, which is not the greatest thing in the world, but tons of TV and movies.
Well, everybody's got their thing.
Okay, I have to ask this question.
All right.
What is your feeling of the government as shareholders?
In theory, I've always been a classical libertarian and just believe that they should stay out of it. In reality, the government's always been in it. They've always been in it since like the early 1800s. So might as well try and make some money the right way. Instead of like the too big to fail, the big banks, we just gave them the money and never got anything back.
Yeah.
We should have taken equity in those banks when we gave them the money.
And that's the weird thing of like, okay, fine.
It's like, do you want me to live in theory in the classroom or do you want me to live in the real world?
That's the thing I always say, heart and head.
Yeah.
It's like, my heart tells me we should have nothing to do with any of this and it should be pure market standards, pure market forecasting, pure market outcomes.
Yeah.
But then I go, first of all, the government's never going to allow that. Because they can't give up that much control. The other thing is, because they can print their own money, which is unlimited, infinite resources, something like the quantum computer is a lot like the moonshot.
Yep.
We have to have,
it for national security.
Because the idea of whatever nation gets this automatically is the top of the heap.
It really is the next nuclear weapon.
So like North Korea could be top of the heap. If they got into it now.
That's right.
Like, I think we would actually nuke them.
We would.
If they got to it first.
I mean, I don't want to say we would, but.
Hold on.
I don't have the button, but
right.
It seems reasonable.
No, I would say that would be on the table.
Sure.
Because the idea was it would be too much risk to allow someone to have that much power and what can or cannot be done with that weapon.
Right.
So, Well, you know what's sad is, though? Something that can bring that much light, enlightenment, curing disease, solving our problems, brings that much destruction with it.
I don't think it's an exaggeration. If we have a quantum computer by 2028, that we will have solved almost every medical diagnosis, we would have a solution for it. We will know how to fix you. Doesn't mean we will be able to fix you because production lines and just having the amount of time to actually do it. But I think the answer will be there. We will know how to cure cancer. We will know how to fix any of these problems. It'll be the implementation that matters.
But again, this is not super science fiction. This has been around for a couple of years, but that idea of personalized medicine, which actually happens at Mitchell Cancer Center.
Back to the med spa.
Yeah.
Right?
Again, this idea of like, okay, we can make this chemotherapy, but it's just for Scott Tindall.
Right.
And it's different for Johnny Gwynn because we can take a look at your DNA, your RNA, whatever they're looking
at. By the
way,
don't speak that into the universe.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry. You're right.
Yeah. For someone.
For someone.
Yes.
But the idea is it's giving you your recipe that's not exactly the same as mine.
Right.
That's a big deal because, again, the cure is worse than the disease so many times. So now you're getting like maybe can ease of those things. And so that's the part where I'm like super, super optimistic.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh yeah, here comes Vishnu, you know, the destroyer of worlds.
Ghostbusters.
Because
reference.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be.
We had sneakers and
no, I think Vishnu actually is
destroyer of worlds.
No, well no, that's Gozar.
Gozar.
Now, yeah. Vishnu is actually a Hindu. Oh, really? I think it's a Hindu goddess of destruction or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Vishnu, destroyer of worlds.
Yeah. Ooh. Again, the Hindus have thousands of gods.
All right. This makes sense because that quote was made famous by Robert Oppenheimer after first successful detonation of a nuclear bomb.
I am destruction, right? That's what he says. I am destruction. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to bring up Vishnu again in segment four.
Sweet.
That's why I have it on my head.
Okay. I thought you just pulled
it. I know.
I didn't know you had loaded the deck here.
Well, Lady Wellborn, my wife, asked me about something about a Hindu god or something, and I was like, that's like the Hindu god, right? I'm like, I don't know. They've got like 1,000 of them, so maybe. I don't know. But I know Vishnu is the defender of, the bringer of destruction.
Okay.
Well, okay. So we are heart and head, we would like it where the government wasn't involved, but our head tells us it has to kind of happen that way. How far do you think China is on their quantum?
Far enough that we had to make an executive order to spend $22 billion immediately.
It's not like the government doesn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many double spies.
Well, look, you don't think that we're using Fable right now on the Chinese government? Yeah. I mean, we're using Fable against every foreign adversary right now while it's taken down from public use for 11 days. All right, folks.
And we will talk about that in the next segment we're going to talk about Fable and Mythos breaking out of its AI cage.
Perfect. All right. See you in a minute.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back into Beyond the Blockchain. I'm Scott Tindall. Johnny Gwynn here with you on a Tuesday night. Johnny, we've had some pretty interesting stuff already, but I think the second half of the show is gearing up too, you know?
It's getting a little doomsday.
Is it?
Yeah, it'll get some little doomsday.
All right.
There's some doomsday stuff. But segment four is very sciencey and very doomsday.
Okay.
It's the doomsday machine. But this one is AI.
Yeah.
So we are talking about, what are we talking about?
We are talking about Fable or Mythos, which is the latest released Anthropic model, which is the one that they kept telling everyone, we're going to create something that's so dangerous, it could be terrible for governments.
And they let it out.
Well,
June 9th, what they released it.
Like, it goes back to what kind of strategy they operate in here. Do they want to get shut down? Or do they want other people shut down? Do they want the government to be their partner again? I don't know what they're doing, but it doesn't make a ton of sense.
That is interesting because the U.S. government put a restriction on Anthropic,
right,
where they didn't on ChatGPT or any of the Google products.
Or Grok.
So you're right. Anthropic might have made a play to say, you leave us out of the pie, you leave us out of the party.
Yeah, we'll
release it. And that's when they said, we'll let you back in if you shut that thing off.
Maybe so.
Okay.
Maybe that's the strategy.
So June 9th is when it was released to the public. And then the Mythos class models, exceptionally capable of autonomously discovering and chaining zero-day exploits across major systems, which I'm not quite sure I know what that means.
A zero-day exploit means that it has only been a vulnerability since right now. Basically, it can find a vulnerability as soon as it exists.
Okay. Well, so it was quickly jailbroken, and it's called by Red Teamer Pliny the Liberator. I don't even know what that is. Pliny the Liberator.
That's his hacker name.
That's his hacker name, right.
Yeah.
So who leaked the system prompt and demonstrated advanced hacking and chemistry instructions.
Okay.
Citing national security, including reports that Mythos penetrated nearly all NSA classified systems in hours during the red team testing. So obviously it wasn't out to the public. The red team testing means the government was testing it. Officials triggered the first ever export controls on all AI models, raising urgent questions about how or whether society can safely release tools this powerful.
Well, you know who doesn't care? The Chinese open source developers.
No, zero.
The question is, it goes back to offense and defense, right? The offense always moves faster. So we actually need these U.S. AI frontier labs to push forward as fast as possible so that we can build the defense for these things. Mm-hmm. They just may not need to be released to the public.
Yeah.
You know, no different than Second Amendment laws have been restrained as to what you can and cannot own.
Gotcha.
Right?
Like, can't own a tank. Even though I believe you should.
I think you can own a tank. You just can't drive it on a public road.
Right.
There's like restrictions in there.
Well, so
you can own a fighter jet. You just can't own the munitions.
That was the Pepsi.
Yeah.
The Pepsi giveaway in the 90s.
It's also how
the guy sued him and said, I bought enough points. Where's my jet at?
So Jared Isaacson, who is the head of NASA now, he was on the first private spacecraft that SpaceX did, remember?
Yeah.
He owns more private jets than like all but like a dozen air forces in the world.
Really?
Just because he's a collector.
Yeah, and can buy them.
And can buy them.
Wow. Yeah. So what I love about this story is the term jailbroke.
Jailbroke.
So I keep imagining this this virus, this brain, something that's in a code that I don't understand how code really works. I only know how to use the user side of it. Right. I don't for me, it's just all magic beans.
Yeah, zeros and ones.
Yeah, it's all magic beans, you know? And so I only know the beanstalk. But this idea of this thing working inside of this code and then getting out of its digital cage.
Right.
And then screwing up everybody else's system. That scares the hell out of everybody. And that is based on a movie that is like
War Games.
War Games. The Whomper.
Yeah.
Remember the game that was supposed to be a theoretical war game that sneaked into the
real system.
The sitcom.
Yeah.
That's when I finally learned about DEFCON 5, DEFCON 4, DEFCON 3. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they mean, but I remember them. All right. So here's my favorite
two war and game. One's bad.
Yeah, we don't want those.
Real bad. Yeah.
My favorite war game story, and I wanted to look it up because I remember pieces and parts of it. So it comes out on June 3rd in 1983, this comes out. Ronald Reagan's the president. He's an actor, so he loves movies, obviously, right? Well, he screened it privately at Camp David.
Wait, you're talking about War Games?
War Games.
Okay, all right.
Comes out on June 3rd. He gets a private showing on June 4th at Camp David. Back before, like, DVD, like, somebody send the reel.
I would imagine there's probably a theater there.
There probably is.
Yeah.
But anyway, you get the point. Yeah. This happens on June 4th. And after he screens the movie, he calls a meeting with his national security advisors, members of Congress, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he couldn't stop talking about the movie. And he says to his Joint Chief of Staff, could something like this really happen? Could someone break into our most sensitive computers? And the response was, Mr. President, the problem is much worse than you think.
Oh, gosh. Again, somebody read a document, government document.
All right.
And said, I've got an idea for a movie, reading some document that scared the crap out of them.
All right. So this is a good foreshadowing of what's the era that we're in now, right? We're seeing these executive orders. Well, Reagan didn't just say, oh, that's terrible. It led to a lot of policy changes. So here's what we have. By September of 84, so 15 months later, is the first U.S. presidential directive on computer and telecommunications security, what we now call cybersecurity.
Right.
So the first governmental laws on cybersecurity come directly from War Games. It established committees and of course it did.
We will put a blue ribbon commission together to figure out all the ramifications of this new technology.
All right, it contributed to the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act of 86, the foundational U.S. law that criminalizes unauthorized access to computer systems, still in use today.
I mean, those were antiquated central hubs.
Oh, yeah.
They're nothing like it is now.
No.
But that was the first time I ever saw a modem, though.
Oh.
Remember? Because he puts his phone down.
Yeah.
And she says, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm calling. And I think I was like, that can't be real. I mean, it was real.
Right.
It just, you know, it wasn't a kid in Mobile, Alabama didn't have one.
Yeah.
But
anyway, so I think War Games is a good analogy.
Yeah.
Right? This tool is going to come out. Because of that, there will be a governmental response. We should expect to see that. It's going to happen with robots. Robots are humanoid robots are going to be under some form of governmental regulation beyond what they are right now. Right now, they're just kind of under consumer protection, like same way you'd.
Oh, like a car.
Like a car or a chainsaw.
And that's kind of how I see that as not an appliance. I see it more as like how you would buy a car, you know, when you purchase a robot.
Yeah. The question is going to be,
God, what's the interest
who's responsible for its autonomous activity?
Yeah.
Like robot goes rogue.
Right. That's nature nurture.
Yeah.
Think about it. Is it the OS system or how you treated it?
I don't know.
Or what you taught it?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Again, I told you my friend.
For a Beyond Beyond segment later.
I told you a friend of mine was a great writer, Rob Pettis. He wrote a book called, it's a self-help series of books for your robot.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's on Amazon.
That's brilliant.
So, okay, I've talked about this movie over and over again. Lawnmower Man is that movie, too.
Stephen King.
Stephen King. It's a short story. It's an okay movie. I watched it again. It does not hold up.
No.
But it is interesting how it, because it does the Neuralink.
Right.
They put this like computer in a slow-witted person. It was a slow person, right?
Okay.
And then this computer like grew so fast, and then he could like jack into other computers, and then
he
takes over the whole internet.
What was the one with Scarlett Johansson?
Oh yeah,
her.
Her. That's
when she gets into all these other computer systems.
No, her's the one where what's his name that falls in love with.
Yeah, no, this is a different one. Morgan Freeman. I gotta look it up.
So are you saying Scarlett Johansson is a AI robot?
Yeah.
That interacts with something and then she ends up like taking over.
Yeah.
The whole system, the whole internet.
So exactly. Lucy.
Oh, I vaguely remember that one.
All right, here you go. 2014 sci-fi action thriller. All right. Oh, Scarlett Johansson is a woman who unlocks 100% of her brain's capacity.
Oh, that okay.
Morgan Freeman plays the neuroscience, how the AI takes over. Her brain capacity maxes out. Lucy gains supernatural abilities, including telekinesis, time manipulation, and the ability to control all digital data and electronic systems with her mind. By the climax, she transcends her physical form and merges entirely with the universe's data stream.
What used to be impossible is now plausible.
Yeah, maybe.
So the one thing I will say, all this amazing computing power, once that genie is out of the bottle, it's hard to put that sucker back. I don't think you can.
Coming up.
I don't think you can.
All right.
Talk about putting the genie out of the bottle.
Yeah.
We really have to.
You got to put that genie back in the bottle. Let's see you on the bottom of the show, folks.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. It's time for our favorite segment of the show. We like to call Beyond the Blockchain, where things get even weirder than they were, which sometimes is surprising, but especially compared to, you know, typical terrestrial radio.
Well, we talk a lot in this segment about aliens and UFOs and stuff.
We do.
But this is some real science.
Okay.
Real science stuff.
Let you have a pass. I think aliens are real science.
Oh, yeah. You're correct. I'm just saying.
You're talking about hard science.
Yeah. I'm talking about not a lot of movies have been made about this, but it's a real
scary thing. All right. Real phenomenon. All right.
Okay. This is about CERN.
Yeah.
The big collider thing, right?
The particle collider.
Yeah. The most feared machine ever built is getting switched off this week.
Oh, boy.
For over a decade, the world's been convinced that CERN's 17-mile collider could crack open a black hole or a doorway into another universe or parallel universe. Now, 6 days from tonight, they're shutting it down for 4 years, quietly, days before our 250th birthday. I'm not quite sure why they keep bringing that up. And nobody's scared? That's the part that should bother you. Every time the machine changes its state, meaning on or off, because it's gone on or off since it's been built,
okay. The
world seems to change with it.
Right.
Okay. Now, what that means is in 2008, it went down. They say the financial stuff.
Financial crisis. The great financial crisis.
Great financial crisis. 2017, COVID.
Oh.
Okay. Seriously. Last time they turned it off.
All right.
And then the last time they did it was the Ukraine-Russian war.
Oh, okay.
So this one, they're going down for 4 years.
Yeah.
And they've kind of kept it quiet about it. But dude, I went and did some research and looked at when they built it.
Yeah.
It is the strangest ritual they did of the opening ceremonies.
Oh, I've seen pictures.
It's like something you see out of like Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
It's like an elitist Illuminati, like deer heads and like goat heads and weird symbols. And they keep saying, oh, there's no weird elite Illuminati. And you watch stuff like this and you're going, I don't know what I'm looking at, but that looks like some weird Satan Illuminati.
You know what my favorite CERN related story is?
Let's hear it.
The very first incident of the Mandela effect. Which the Mandela effect is when you think you remember something one way, but in reality, it's another way.
Bernstein Bears and Bernstein Bears.
Yeah. Sleeping Beauty, Mirror on the Wall or a magic mirror on the wall.
Yeah.
The Fruit of the Loom having a cornucopia.
Right.
In the logo or not.
The Monopoly Man having monocle.
Or not.
Yes.
Anyway.
So that's a 2012 issue because the rumor is that it changed our timeline.
Right.
And so again.
That's where I was going.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens is in this collider, and I had to go back and look at what the hell was the Higgs boson particle.
Right.
So they take an atom on the 17-mile circle, and they take two atoms, and they run it.
Yeah.
To at a speed ridiculous, like the speed of light, right? And they smash them together, right? To find the God particle. That's what the Higgs boson thing mm-hmm. is. And I kept saying, well, what did it teach us? And so Grok told me, it's kind of like the inner engine of reality. Like, what is mass? Like, what is an atom? And so breaking it apart and finding what's left from that destruction is like the atom or the spark of the atom that started everything.
Okay.
So the idea is they messed around with the idea of what makes reality.
Mm.
And so a lot of the theory is in 2012, they screwed up and either it was too much of a destruction or whatever.
It flipped
us into a new timeline.
Yeah.
Which, again, you can't prove it. There's no way you can prove it.
Can't unprove it either.
We're getting to a lot of this is quantum mechanics.
That is back to quantum
theory. This is quantum mechanics, right? Right.
Quantum theory, yeah.
But this is like, I mean, I did look back at, because I saw this on X. This is why I came up with this idea of the story.
Okay.
Was someone made a list of when it was switched off in history, and then just so happened these kind of major world events kind of happened. But then I went back and looked at it and said, major world events happen all the damn time.
Right.
So, I mean, you know.
I like the Mandela effect that CERN being the cause of the Mandela effect the best.
Yeah,
the timeline shifting is the most intriguing.
It is, and it also goes back to the idea of like that's something to explain these weird anomalies. Mm-hmm. That actually, I will tell you, when X-Files rebooted around 2018, 2019, it's a really good season. So I'm talking about the one that still has Mulder and Scully in it.
Yeah.
There is a whole episode that goes with nostalgia about the Mandela effect. And it's really, really good. And hers was a made-up one because I think they just had to do with like a certain type of Jell-O. Like it was a flavor of Jell-O that she swore existed in the world. And come to find out, it doesn't exist.
All right.
Again, the Berenstein Bears, the Berenstein Bears.
Monopoly Man. Yeah.
Monopoly Man.
Cornucopia.
The Sinbad movie?
The Sinbad movie. Is it called?
What is it, Sinbad because Sinbad was in it or because Shaq was in it?
Shaq was in one.
Yeah.
Called Shazam.
Shazam. You're right.
But there's a question on what was the name of Sinbad. Sinbad did have a movie, but people remember it as different names, which is kind of a hard thing to confuse.
Hey, Sinbad had a good career in the 90s, man. Yeah,
Sinbad was on a run.
But again, that changes. Well, again, if it happened in 2012, it means it shifts a lot of time. But it seems to be things that are so minute. They're so petty.
Well, that's the whole idea is almost every parallel universe is almost exactly the same.
It's going to be the fine details.
It's
going to
be really small things that are different.
That makes total sense because you can't have mass chaos. It has to be the smaller things.
Yeah, we just got bumped over one or two or 10 parallel universes. We didn't get bumped over into a drastically different world.
Yeah, yeah.
They just shifted us.
That makes sense.
They just bumped us into a parallel universe.
So going back to quantum mechanics again, that Miku Keiku that we talked about in segment two.
Yeah.
When he was on Joe Rogan, when he was 17, he tried to build his own collider in his he was like a 16-year-old genius, right?
Clearly.
He had bought so much copper wiring that the U.S. government came to see what he was doing, and he was creating his own particle collider in his garage.
That's hilarious.
And that was like, what? He goes, oh, yeah, the NSA showed up and said, son, what are you doing?
That's hilarious.
But again, he's an interesting guy, and he explains quantum mechanics where even I can understand that, and that is a lot.
I normally listen to Rogan's podcast on 2x speed. I had to listen to that one on regular speed.
His English is good, but he still has,
it's just
he still has an accent.
Complicated information. All right, I've got one thing I'll leave you with as we leave the show. I saw a headline, but I didn't get a chance to read into it, but we should talk about it next week on Beyond Beyond. The headline says, all the other yous in all the billions of parallel universes are impacting your life today.
So that reminds me of a thing that I didn't look into either, but it was like your gut feelings you have is actually your future self or another parallel you sending you a message, like a DM to your body to say you should worry about this.
Encoded in your DNA.
Which again, we'll cover that next week.
That's wild. All right. See you next time on Beyond the Blockchain.